pits. Desperation for God is part of the content of David's testimony. And David goes on to emphasize all of the wonderful deeds of God. That's another part of the content, the many wonderful deeds of God. Look at verses 4 through 5 with me. David writes, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told." In these verses, David is testifying that God is constantly doing wonderful deeds for his people. He not only takes us out of pits and sets us on a rock, he blesses us all the time in many, many ways. God's deeds are more than can be told. David proclaims that truth to exalt God. David does not make much of himself in this testimony. He makes much of God. He tells of God's wonderful deeds. And three, David proclaims his commitment to God. His commitment to God is another theme in the content of his testimony. I look at verses 6 through 8. David writes, "In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I have come, and the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart." In these verses, we hear that David does far more. And when he's worshiping God, he does far more than bring an animal to the altar. He does far more than bring an offering envelope for the offering bag. David is saying he offers himself fully to God. David is testifying that he gladly puts his full life in the sovereign hands of God. David is again exalting God in these verses. David is testifying that the most joyful life, the most abundantly joyful life, is a life committed to God. It's an obedient life. That's the most joyful, delightful life. Concerning these verses about commitment, we now know that they are about being Christ-like. I say that they're Christ-like, these verses, because the book of Hebrews puts these verses on the lips of Jesus. At one point, Jesus said these verses of himself. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. As you read these verses, you'll notice that they quote verses 6 through 8 of Psalm 40. Hebrews says, "Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." This passage reveals that Jesus practiced verses 6 through 8 of Psalm 40. Jesus became a man and gladly obeyed God the Father even to death on a cross. And in that way, he provided us our salvation. God's will is not always easy, but it is always good. It's always glorious. And so Jesus came and fulfilled the will of his Father, giving us salvation. And David also wanted to obey. He declares his commitment to God. He knew that was the most joyful life. That's a summary of the content of David's testimony. And we would do well to learn from that content. The content can help us understand our lives. Listen to this. If you are a Christian, you have such a testimony. You do. You may not have extremes in your testimony, but we can all testify of how God has lifted us up out of many pits, and how God does wondrous things, and of our desire to live for him. By thinking about that, we can be blessed, and I encourage you to start thinking about that today. Think about what God has done in your life. Start to think about your testimony. God has lifted you up. We all have such a testimony if we are part of Christ. What I want to point out next is that David tells us where he gave his testimony. Where he gave his testimony. Listen to verses 9 and 10 again. David says, "I have told the glad news of your deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation." David gave his testimony to the congregation, to the people of God. Twice we hear that truth in these verses. David is not telling us that to brag about what he did. He's telling us that truth, proclaiming that truth in this inspired psalm to teach us. This psalm was written for all of us to learn from, for all of us to practice. What David says reveals we should not be silent about the times God takes us out of the miry pits. We should tell each other. We should have the same attitude as David. I will not conceal what God has done in my life. As I thought about these verses, I thought about our congregation, and I actually thought about how rarely we hear testimony of what God has done. We did hear some testimonies during our Thanksgiving Day service, and that was awesome. If you were here for our Thanksgiving Day service, I'm confident you would say that was the best part of the service, hearing those testimonies. That was just fantastic. But you know, we rarely hear such testimonies in our congregation. That doesn't mean God is not at work. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means we're silent. And that really hit me this week. And I ask you, shouldn't that change? Shouldn't that change? Shouldn't we have more testimonies in the congregation, to the congregation, of what God has done? And I guess as you'd all say, yes, hearing more testimonies, that would be fantastic. So let me raise this question, are you willing to give one? That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? So are you willing to give one? Tell about the wondrous deeds God has done in your life. We all want to hear them. We know they bless us. But sometimes we don't want to give them. Most of us want to be silent. And so I'm asking you to let these inspired words of Psalm 40 spur you on. This is God's word to us. David says, "I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness. I've told the congregation of what you've done." I wonder how many of us have done some hiding, some concealing. And so again, are you willing to help change that? Are you willing to testify of what God has done? I hope you are, and I hope we, as we continue to look at this psalm, you get spurred on in other ways. Let's continue to look at this psalm. And again, I hope you get spurred on. I actually have a sign-up sheet and out on the counter in our welcome area over here. If you're interested in learning more about giving a testimony of God's wondrous deeds in your life, I ask you to sign up today. By signing up, you're simply saying you're interested, okay? I'm interested in learning more about this. I guarantee you will not be forced to give a testimony if you sign up on that sheet, okay? You're merely saying, I want to learn more about this. I'm a little interested. I'm curious about what this would be like. And then Eric and I are very happy to work with people to give their testimony in a comfortable way, all right? We're very willing to work on that. And if enough people are willing, we will start to include testimonies every now and then. And again, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it? So continue to give some thought to this as we look at this psalm. Maybe the next point I'm going to highlight will encourage you even more to do so, all right? The next point is that David shares with us the reason. the reason he gave his testimony. The reason, listen to verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. David did not remain silent because he knew his testimony would help other people trust in the Lord. He knew his testimony would bring about a beautiful, right kind of fear of God, and with that right fear, a great trust in God, a deeper trust in God, maybe a beginning trust in God. He knew his testimony would help others be blessed. That's the reason he was moved to give his testimony to the congregation. And that is why we all want to hear testimonies, isn't it? We know that hearing a testimony spurs us on, just like the one I read this week spurred me on. And dear friends, if we want to hear such testimonies, again, we have to be willing to give them. So I just keep asking you here, consider that. A wonderful application of this psalm would be people giving their testimonies and all of us hearing them. I think it would be fabulous to maybe hear one once every 2 months or maybe even once a month. I have no idea if that will happen. But I know it would bless this congregation if we did that. Now, having said that, I decided, well, maybe I should give an example. You're all probably out there thinking, well, come on, Pastor Glenn, as you're talking about this, let's hear you give your testimony. So I will. I'm going to share something with you from my own life. But first, I want to finish the psalm, okay? We're going to finish the psalm, then I'll do that. I want to tell you about the end of the psalm, which is different than the beginning. There's a sudden turn in the psalm. And not only is it different, the end of Psalm 40 is actually its own psalm later in the Psalter. Psalm 70 is basically the end of Psalm 40. I'll talk more about that when we get to Psalm 70, but Psalm 70 is basically the end of Psalm 40 all on its own. For that reason, some scholars who don't have a strong appreciation of the inspiration of the Scriptures, believe that the end of Psalm 40 doesn't belong with Psalm 40. They don't think it should be part of Psalm 40. But the truth is that the end of Psalm 40 shows us another reason it's important to give testimonies. Namely, not only is giving a testimony helpful to others, it's helpful to the giver of the testimony because it strengthens the giver for whatever lies ahead. I'll say that one more time. Not only does giving your testimony help other people, it helps you. Because it strengthens you for whatever might lie ahead in the future for you. When you give your testimony, it affirms in your heart and mind that God has indeed helped you. And that affirmation strengthens you when you come along and face other trials or other pits. That's what we see at the end of Psalm 40. So this psalm makes great sense, actually. I'm going to call this overall point David prays. David prays. Listen to verses 12 through 14. David writes, "For evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and disappointed altogether who seek to snatch away my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha." In verse 12, it sounds like David again is in a miry pit. He is overtaken. He cannot see. It sounds like the root of his problem is his own iniquities. But his sin is not the only problem, for in verse 13, we hear him crying out because there are enemies wanting to take his life. So his own sins and the sins of other people, his enemies, all of that has him in a bad place. And David is in another pit. But I want to show you that David is crying out to God with knowledge of his other experience. He's crying out to God with knowledge of his past experience. Look at verse 11. David writes, "As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. He starts his prayer with confidence in the Lord, great confidence in the Lord. He ends his prayer the same way. I look at verse 17. As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. He acknowledges his need for God and trusts God will deliver him. He has great confidence in this prayer. And I ask, where does that great confidence come from? Answer, it comes from his previous experience. That's why this is one whole psalm. David knows God helped him before, and he knows God is going to help him again. The fact that David gave his testimony emphasized that truth to himself. It built him up with confidence. Telling others what you have experienced from the Lord helps ingrain it in your mind and in your heart. So the end of this psalm is very helpful. The end shows us that we very well might encounter another pit. But because of God's previous help, help in our own lives, we can encounter it with confidence. The giving of our testimony increases that confidence in our lives. So again, I ask, how about you? How about you? Will you do what David did? What he's calling for in the psalm? Will you testify to what the Lord has done? I encourage you to do so. Do not be silent. If you're interested in that, even just a little bit, if you're interested just a little bit in giving your testimony, please go to that welcome area, sign up on the sheet that you'll find there. Eric and I will talk to you about it. We don't know what will happen with this. No promises here of what's going to happen with this, but we're interested in seeing how God uses this psalm in our congregation. Now, having given that call, I'm going to share with you something from my own life. This is not about my conversion. This is about a pit that I experienced. I went right from high school to college, and about midway through college, I started to feel a call for ministry. So towards the end of my college years, I actually started to prepare to go to seminary. And so I did. I went right from college to seminary. And most of you know I was Baptist at the time. I went to a Baptist college, went to a Baptist seminary, Bethel Theological Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I graduated right before my 26th birthday, I graduated. Delray and I met during my third year of seminary. We were married before the start of my fourth year of seminary. After I graduated, I took a call to a Baptist church in Torrance, California, which is south of Los Angeles. I can still vividly remember driving up to our first apartment there. We were young, we were extremely poor, and we were a long ways away from family. And this was totally new to us Midwestern kids. A little over a year after I started working for that Baptist church in Torrance, I was in a pit. Just a little over a year, and I was in a pit. I was becoming more and more reformed in my theology, and my philosophy of that theology was reshaping my philosophy of ministry. I was growing more and more aware of the errors of the church growth movement, which was extremely strong at that time. And the senior pastor of that church was really into the church growth movement. So we were clashing big time. It just wasn't working. It was getting harder and harder to continue in that ministry. And I knew I couldn't. I just couldn't continue on in that situation. But what was I going to do? What was I going to do? I'd spent 8 years in school, in college, in seminary, preparing for ministry. I'd grown up Baptist, attended a Baptist seminary. This is all I knew. I didn't know anything else. And I remember looking in the newspaper for jobs, wondering, what in the world am I going to do? But I knew I couldn't continue. I still had student loans. Darian, I still had student loans. I had my wife. I had no idea what was going to happen. I wasn't angry at God, but I was afraid. I was afraid. And in many ways, it felt like a failure. Delray was very helpful to me. You should know that. She was just rock solid. At least that's what she showed. I don't remember any fear on her part. But I was afraid. I was very ready to be done with ministry. I was way done with ministry at that point. I was in a pit. And I'm pretty sure I experienced some physical illness because of all the stress at that time. I was desperate for help from God. And I'm thankful to say, He heard my cry, and He took me out of that pit. Now, it didn't happen very quickly. It didn't happen very quickly at all. I had to wait on the Lord. But over the course of 7 years, God faithfully gave Dare and me what we needed when we needed it. It was just when we needed it. That's when He gave it to us. I resigned from the church. Got a part-time job, just a part-time job, very entry-level job at a medical group. I remember one day when I was cleaning bedside commodes for use in in-home care, just very entry-level job. But God put me in the right department at the right time. My job soon became full-time, and God kept providing in amazing ways through that job. Still thankful for that medical group I was part of. During that time, God led us to a CRC church in Bellflower. Eventually, God gave me the opportunity to preach in area CRC churches there. I was elected to be an elder of the church at First Bellflower. Got involved in prison ministry, which was a fantastic experience. And then eventually, God called me back into the ministry. I went to Calvin Seminary for a year and became ordained in this denomination. Now, today, I look back and realize that God used that frightening, hard time in my life to shape me in ways that I needed to be shaped and molded. He gave me a deeper trust in His providing hand. He gave me the experience of working full time while also being an elder. So now when I'm working with elders, I get that. You're working full-time, you got a family, and you're an elder or you're a deacon, and I understand that. I was there. He gave me that. He showed me how important it is to stand firmly on His holy word rather than going with whatever happens to be popular at the moment in the church. When I went to Calvin Seminary for a year, I was ready to learn in a way I wasn't when I graduated right from college and went to seminary. I'd matured in ways. I could go on for quite a while telling you the numerous ways God provided for us during that time and how He shaped and molded me in ways that I needed it during that time. I could go on for hours, but I will simply say, with David, God graciously, mercifully lifted me up out of a pit. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. God does wonderful deeds. No one can compare to our Lord Jesus Christ. I've experienced that. Now, telling you that testimony, again, just thinking through that, preparation for this, that just fills you with gratitude again. You reflect back and realize, wow, it was so good. I never want to do that again, but God was so good. It helps me know that God is with me, and that He's going to take me through other pits or trials that I might experience. And I hope the testimony spurs you on as well. Wouldn't it be a joy to hear more testimonies like that of what God has done? It would be, wouldn't it? And so if you are even just a little bit interested in sharing with us what God has done in your life, go to the Welcome Center, sign up on that sheet, and we'll talk more about it. Let's not remain silent of what the Lord our God has done for us. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, it is so good to hear David speak of how you lifted him up out of a pit. It's so good to hear him speak of that pit and then say, but God set me on a rock. He made my steps secure. It is so good, Father, to think about our own lives and see that you have done great things for us. See that you have indeed helped us through trials. And Father, it's so wonderful to be part of a fellowship, a family in which we can spur one another on. We have heard your word today. This is your inspired word to us. And so we pray right now that you take this word that we've heard and that you'd use it in our lives and that you would shape our congregation in whatever ways it needs to be shaped for continued ministry, for continued exaltation of who you are and what you so wonderfully, mercifully do for your people. Magnify your name through us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.